And I felt the presence of the Lord there. And as they had a little homegrown kind of country band. It was a family that's part of that church singing open the service and everything. One of the songs they sang really blessed me. It's about being in the army of the Lord and enduring the suffering. And, it's just a really nice song, blessed me. And I felt the presence of the Lord at that meeting. And I'll tell you, I felt humbled, humbled. Get in that room with all these Christians, I think, even though I have all this truth that none of these people will probably ever have, they're God's people. I can feel the presence of the Lord here. And I am humbled to know that I am just one person, just one guy. I'm just one guy. All these people are God's people. God loves them all. His presence was there. He was pleased with what was going on. And of course, Zach had a real good word on mercy. But it was a humbling experience to go into basically it was a church. It was that church, but they were in a school building. It was that church plus people had come from out of state and different places, but the core of them, maybe 100 of them were in that church. I sat there and I thought, I was just sat there and felt like nothing. I mean, I didn't feel like evil and stuff like that. It wasn't anything negative or wrong. It was just, I sat there and I thought, all these people are God's people. All these people are God's people. They have no idea. They don't know the knowledge I have. They don't have any of the knowledge I have as far as the feast, what God's doing, going on perfection. They have none of that knowledge. I know that. But they were sincere, and you can feel the presence of the Lord there very strongly. And you can just tell they're all very serious and sincere Christians. And it was a humbling experience for me. It just was. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it feeling like nothing. I enjoyed feeling like nothing. It's just it was great. Thanks. Carol says, could you give us a spelling of his name? Yeah, it's Zac, Zach. Zac. Poonen. P as in Peter. Poonen. He's a fellow from India. He was in the Indian Navy. He got saved in the Indian Navy. He was about 21 years old. He's been preaching now for about 40 years, I guess. Or maybe 50 years. He has a website. If you look up Zach Poonen on the Google or something, you'll find it eventually, his web address. It's a place, it's a church in India. I know when you get out of the system, you get out of the system, and we're in a special clique, and I've been in different cliques before, different little end time groups, and now I'm sort of flowing with Steve. Yeah, good. Thank you, Creaky. CFC India, that's right. Now I'm sort of flowing with Steve a little bit in his room. It's real easy to get that feeling where you're special, you're out. You know all these things that nobody else does, and you're God's special kind. And there's a certain amount that is true. We are special, and we are, God is bringing us into something that other Christians don't know. So I'm not minimalizing that or saying it's not true or we shouldn't understand that. But it's just nice to be around other people who you know are Christians, and you can feel the presence of the Lord there, so you can feel like nothing. You just feel like, oh, all these people are just as precious to God as I am. They're all serving God just as earnest in their place as I am in my place. And I am nothing special. It's nice to feel like that. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? It's just nice. It's nice to have that humble, I am nothing feeling. It wasn't anything negative. It wasn't like I felt I was a sinner or anything like that. Just nothing. I'm not special. I'm just not special. All these people, God loves them. And they're all here worshiping the Lord. And they're all before the Lord. And He's accepting them. He's with them. And I want to bring out that scripture in Revelation just to sort of back this up. Revelation says the woman gives birth to the man child. You all know that, right? We believe the man child is the overcomers. It's a group. That means the woman's a group. Okay, the man child is caught up to God. I believe that's not a literal rapture catching up. It's they're walking in heavenly places. They're caught up in the spirit. They're learning how to live and move and have their being in the spirit, walking in the spirit only. They're not down the flesh sometime and up in the spirit sometime and down the flesh and up and up and down. They're learning how to walk in the spirit all the time. Okay, that's I believe that's a picture of. The woman is not in that. The woman's a different group, and she stays a different group. The woman doesn't become the man child. The woman then has to flee into the wilderness. And to God protects her from the serpent, from the face of the serpent. Okay, so that's two different groups going on. Okay, one is the overcomers, which I'm aspiring to be part of. One is the woman who produces, that's like the church, some part of the church the overcomers come out of. But the woman's still there, and the woman's still being protected by God, and the woman's still serving God. There's still something there. And also, there's another group called the seed of the woman, the remainder of her seed, which I don't think is the overcomers either. It's something else. And these people, the devil goes out to make war with them. It doesn't say God protects them, but it just says they keep the commandments of Jesus. They have the testimony of Jesus Christ and keep his commandments. So there's these three groups. I don't know exactly. I believe the overcomers, the man child represents the overcomers. And the woman represents some kind of part of the church also. But my point is, there's still people out there who are not overcomers and are God's people. And God loves them and they're serving God to the best of their knowledge where they're at. And so I'm just encouraging everybody, just keep that in mind as you go on. the deeper you go into God, the more closer we get to the perfection that He's calling us to, and the more glorious truth reveals to us. And keep in mind that there's other Christians out there that don't know what we know, aren't going the way we're going, but they're still Christians. And just be careful who we look down our nose at and who we judge as not worthy. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people in the church aren't worthy. They're heretics, and most of the leaders, what I'm talking about is the people, not the leaders. The leaders are a different story. I don't have much mercy on the leaders. But the people themselves are unbound, they're in bondage, and in some instances they ask for it themselves, like the scripture says, but other times they're not. These people I was with, they have no idea what's coming down. They have no idea what's going on. No idea. So, Creaky says, so it looks like we can. No, what I believe is, I believe that if God's called you, yes, you can move to one group to the next. That's what I'm saying, yes. You come out of the woman and become part of the overcomers as you give yourself to the Lord, and as He calls you that way, and as you give yourself to it. So the more consecrated we become, separated from these things, the more holy we become, the more death to self we can embrace, that whole death to self message and laying down our lives, the more resurrection life we can attain to and come into as a result of that. That brings us from the woman into the man-child company. That's what I believe. I mean, you can accept that or not, I'm just saying. But definitely there's two groups there. And the one goes into the higher places in the spirit, and the one has to go in the wilderness and be protected. They're not overcoming the way the other ones are. Not up in the spirit realm, being walking in that kind of spirit realm that the overcomers are. There had to be they're in the wilderness. They're in a wilderness place being protected by somebody. So it's a different kind of thing, different kind of experience here. And so what my point was, the woman's still there. That's my whole point. The woman's still there. Not everybody becomes an overcomer. And not everybody that's not an overcomer goes to hell. There's a woman still there, and there's a seed of the woman that the devil goes out to torment, and those are all Christians. Somewhere in God they're Christians. And I believe there's still little tiny independent churches here and there that are not part of the great apostasy. They're still serving the Lord where they're at, whatever understanding they have. Maybe they're still in Passover experience. Maybe they're in the Pentecostal experience. I don't know. These people have just accepted the baptism of the Holy Spirit within the last year. That's something new for them. They just I think exactly. Matter of fact, I think Zach was the one that sort of brought them into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A lot of them. So they're kind of coming along, but. And I'm not going to start going to that church. That's not my point at all. I have no desire to go to that church. But my point was just that, just be careful. As we sit outside the system here and watch it go down the tubes and watch it go to hell in a handbasket, just let's keep our spirits and our humility there, that we know there's other God's people out there, no matter where they're at. And even if you don't see a church that might still be solid, there still are little churches around. They have God's people, and God loves them. He's working with them, and He's going to deal with them and be with them through all this. Even if they have to die, He's still going to be with them. They're His people. So it looks like we can move one group to another. You think yes, because I've been moving myself. Good. Cricky said, how do you get that overcoming as an option? How do I get that overcoming as an option? Hang on a second. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, overcomers, the term itself only appears a handful of times in the scriptures, but when you read the letters to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus exhorts everybody to overcome, and those that don't are spit out of his mouth, have their names blotted from the book. Those don't sound like terms of people that go on into eternal life. I see the scriptures lay out, you must overcome to an inherit eternal life. I don't see how you can be a non-overcomer and be blotted from the book and vomited out of the mouth of God and still enter into glory.
Okay, well, that's what I was asking you. What do you feel the woman and the man child are? Can you tell me that? You want to tell me what do you believe the man child or woman represent? Go ahead, I'll give you the mic.
I'm not entirely sure, actually. I have some ideas, but I'm not entirely sure about the two groups there. But still, overcoming, as you read all the scriptures about overcoming, it's not presented as an option for just some people. Whoever's born of Christ is an overcomer. If you don't abide in Christ, you don't overcome. I mean, you either overcome or you are overcome by the world and the devil.
Okay, well, I guess I don't see it that way, Paul, because the scripture talks about coming forth in the different levels of fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, in different areas. It talks about I can't remember, I'm sure you know the scripture, I'll just tell you what it is. When he says in a great house, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, okay? Both the vessels of dishonor and honor are in the same house, are in God's house. It doesn't say the vessels of honor are saved and the vessels of honor dishonor are lost. It's in a great house. Just wait a minute. I'm just telling you why I'm seeing that there's different places in God for Christians. Okay, a vessel. I believe a vessel of dishonor is not exactly an overcomer. And the question is, overcoming how much? Overcome what? The churches in Revelation had specific things each one had to overcome. God didn't say, if you don't overcome everything, then you're going to be blotted out of the book of life. You know, he went to each church and said, you have a problem. This is your problem. If you don't overcome this, this is what's going to happen to you. So there's different levels of overcoming. That's the difference between the bride and the sons. The sons overcome everything. Every sin, every failure, I mean, every frailty, everything. The sons overcome everything through Christ. The bride doesn't overcome everything. They overcome some things. They're not completely have overcome everything by the time Jesus comes back. So that's my view. You don't have to accept that. I'm just saying. I get that for different scriptures that say there's different levels in Jesus that give you intimation when there's different kinds of overcoming. I don't think a vessel of dishonor. I make jokes sometimes. We talk about vessels of honor and dishonor. I say, you know, this guy's going to be a toilet in the kingdom. You know, it's a joke. You know, but the vessel of dishonor will be like a toilet in a house. You know, that would say to me, that describes somebody who's not exactly an overcomer in all areas. You overcome some areas, but not all. Vessel of wrath is not a vessel of dishonor. It's dishonor and wrath are not the same exact thing. Pharaoh wasn't a vessel of dishonor. He was a vessel of wrath. And that scripture talking about Pharaoh. He was a vessel of wrath. And he was fitted for destruction. In every house, there are vessels of honor and dishonor. Okay? Both the vessels of honor and dishonor are in the house of the Lord. I know there's a lot of people out there that say, if you're not a total overcomer, you're going to go to hell. I'm not one of those people. Total overcoming is something that's for an elite. It's not elite as far as us being special, in the fact that we're wonderful, but it's elite in the sense of numbers. A total overcoming life is not going to be had by most Christians. It's not, just not. Most Christians are going to overcome many things, maybe most things, but not all things. When I talk about overcomers, I'm talking about a group that has gone all the way with God, and there is nothing in them. Like when Jesus says, they're going to come back with a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's a high criteria to reach. That's not simple. I'm telling you, most Christians ain't going to reach that. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, it's not a position, a legal position for imputed righteousness. It's talking about an actual moral state, actual moral sinless perfection, okay? When I say elite, I don't mean elite. I mean a number. I'm talking about a small number, you know, in that sense, elite. Not elite like we're, you know, not elitism. I'm not talking about elitism. I'm talking about a small number compared to there's a church within a church. The church within a church goes on to perfection. They reach sinless perfection. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about sinless perfection. And there's the rest do not reach sinless perfection. If you don't agree with it, that's fine. You know. But what I was saying about the vessels of honor and honor, they're both in the master's house. So don't think they're the same as the vessels of wrath. Anyway, my whole point there was, before I go off on that, was it's real easy to get snotty. Look at other Christians who ain't doing what you're doing. That's all. And I'm just saying, we've got to watch that. Because God has different people in different places. And not everybody's going to make the best. Not everybody's going to make the best. You know. That's why we're rewarded according to our works. We're rewarded according to how much we give the Lord. And some people are going to give the Lord more, and therefore they're going to be rewarded more. Some people are going to give the Lord less, and therefore their reward's going to be less. That's what the scripture teaches all the time, over and over again. Old and New Testament. That's why it's important for people to understand that, because what's being taught at church is we all get everything based on imputed righteousness. And so if we do good works, or if we do overcome, that's good, but we don't have to. We really don't have to. We should, but we don't have to. Because we're really getting everything we're going to get based on imputed righteousness, and that's not it at all. We're going to get what we get based on what we've done with imputed righteousness, how much of that's been worked out in us. And how much that's been worked out in us has to do with how much we overcome, how much we die. But anybody else have anything, go ahead. You can jump in there and give your 2 cents. Go ahead. I'm just telling you what I see in Scripture. If you don't agree, that's fine. You got my point, though, right? Regardless of the overcoming issue, it's real easy to sit outside the system, watch it go down the toilet, and sort of get self-righteous, okay? That's what I was talking about. So, Creaky, I don't look down them because I was there. I was where they are until the Lord my good. That's great. I'm glad that's true of you. I hope it's true of everybody. I got to share with you what Zach preached on the other night when he was there. It was very interesting. He said that, where's that scripture? I don't know if Paul knows it, maybe. He was talking about mercy. And he said, he pointed out the scripture, which I read 100 times. I never quite got this way. When the king bring the servant before him, owed him all this money, and he forgave him a big, huge debt. And then the same guy goes out and grabs one of his fellow servants who owes him a little tiny debt, grabs him by the throat and says, pay me, I'm going to put you in prison. the guy goes in and complains to the king about what this guy's doing to him, and the king calls the servant back in who he forgave the big debt, says, "What's wrong with you, evil servant? You know, I forgave you all this debt. Couldn't you forgive your fellow servant a little tiny debt?" And so he puts him in, he says, throw the guy in prison and give him the tormentors. And then he says, "So will my father do to you if you don't forgive from your heart those who trespass against you," or something like that. You know, he brought the analogy that debt is our sin. And he was saying we can be unforgiven of our sin. When we come to Christ, all that big, huge debt that we owe God is forgiven freely. And if we don't go out and forgive our fellow servants or Christians, we're in danger of God coming to us and saying, "Look, I forgive you all that debt, all your sin debt." He said, "Now I'm going to unwipe it out. Now you got to pay every jot and tittle. Everything, the debt I forgave you is back on you. And now you're going to go be given to the prison and the tormentors, which are demons, until you pay that debt yourself." And he would say, that's a picture of unforgiveness. You know, God forgives all that debt, but it's so serious. Forgiveness is so such a serious issue. He would say, God, you know, could actually unforgive our sin debt and give us over to tormentors. That's an interesting way to look at that scripture. I guess I never looked at that before. God will unforgive all that debt. I'm sure most people don't believe that. You know, they believe that once you're saved, you can't be unforgiven and all that. But I think he had a point. He had a good point there. Anybody ever read that scripture thinking along those lines? That was a new thought for me. Seattle says yes. Good. Did you apply that way, that God will unforgive all your sins? Yeah. Well, good for you, Paul. I never saw it that way till Zach said that. I got a witness to it. I think it bore witness to my spirit. So go ahead, Paul.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, it works both ways. You know, when you come under the blood, your sin is blotted from you, right? And as far as the east is from the west, and God remembers it no more. But your sin can retroactively be applied back to your account, if you will. You know, Ezekiel warns us not to trust in our former righteousness. And in the day that we turn from God back to our sin, he said he'll remember our righteousness no more. So when you forsake God, when you abandon the covenant principles, it's like all your former sin that was forgiven gets reapplied back to your account.
That's a dreadful thought, isn't it? You want me to try and sing a song? I can sing one. Anybody interested in learning another song? My buddy Rebecca's not here tonight. I gotta find this one. I wasn't really prepared for this tonight. I don't know why. I didn't prepare myself good enough tonight. I'm sorry. For his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but no, always know that control and joy cometh in the morning. I've got joy in my soul, for God is in control. He comes through when my heart is in despair. Almighty and supreme, beyond what I can dream, he is the God who always answers prayer. For his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but always know that God is in control. In the morning, are you in a situation that's impossible? Is there darkness just as far as you can see? Hold on a little longer, put your trust in Father God. In the morning you will see the victory. God is in control, and joy cometh in the morning. I've got joy in my soul, for God is in control. He comes through when my heart is in despair. He's almighty and supreme. supreme beyond what I can dream. It who always answers prayer, for his favor is in life. Weeping may endure for a night, but no, always know that God is in control. And joy cometh in the morning. Are you in a situation that's impossible? Is there darkness just as far as you can see? Just hold on a little longer. Put your trust in Father God. In the morning you will see the victory. About that, my voice is all creaky because I got a slight cold here. Anyway, that's called His Favor's Life. Harold wants to know if we're correctly understanding what we're saying. The past sins can be held against us again. Where is that chapter verse, Seattle? You still there, Seattle? You mentioned Ezekiel. What was that? Ezekiel 18 and Ezekiel 33:13. Let's go 33:13 first, and then we'll go back to 18. When I shall say to the righteous, that he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity he that committeth, he shall die for it. Okay? See that, Harold? You still there? Whoops, Harold's gone. Okay. I guess he went to look at that or something, I don't know. Well, anybody else have anything? Fishhead says, is the soul and the human nature the same thing? Not exactly. The human nature is fallen. As far as I can see, the human nature is fallen. It's sinful. It can't be. Yeah, the human nature and the flesh. There is two things in the flesh. The flesh is your body, of course, the literal flesh, flesh and blood. And the flesh also talking about the flesh nature, which is sinful, which is fallen, which is never going to be redeemed. God's not redeeming the human flesh nature. That's why Paul said in Romans, in myself, that is in my flesh, there is no good thing. Can't be saved. That's why the flesh has to go to the cross. Okay, God's not saving the flesh. He's not redeeming the flesh. The flesh is sinful, is destined for hell, flesh nature. It's got to go to the cross. The soul, however, is to be brought back into God's image. Okay, the soul is being saved. In my view, there is a difference. You know, they're combined. The human nature and the soul are combined, they're intertwined. And one of the operations is to separate them and to put the one on the cross and redeem the other one. You know, but in a nutshell, that's what I see. So a person who is not saved is a good singer in blues when he got saved. You should not use his soul's talents to sing for God. Well, I think you should put that before God. Let God purify it. Okay? And let him, if he wants to see what happens, is we come with all this talents, our gifts, our talents, our wisdom. And what we got to do is when we come to God, we got to lay it down on the altar and let God, we allow God to crucify it, and he resurrects what he wants, what can be used for his kingdom, to his glory. He resurrects it and infuses it with eternal life. Okay? Some things we have to lay down that we never get back. They can't be any good for the kingdom. They can't be used for the kingdom. And we lay them down, we never see them again. Like maybe a bad relationship or something, or some kind of thing that's not God, never was God, can't be used for God's kingdom, and never can be restored or renewed or anything. God says lay it down and you never get it back. Some things we lay down, he gives it to us back resurrected, full of eternal life, for his glory we can use. So, well, when you come to Jesus, you have all these talents, like if you're a singer or an artist, or you have great talent in some area. It's wise to put it on the altar and let God lead you in when and how to use it to his glory. You know, that's the way I feel about that. But do you have a talent, Fishhead? Do you have a great talent in your life that you were thinking about? Or do you know somebody has a great talent that you wonder what to do with it? Since I don't have any great talents, I had to worry about it. I'm one of those guys who don't have a lot of great talent, so I didn't have to really, just had to lay down my sin. Irma says, no talent, but I love Jesus. You got talent, Irma. You got Ministry of Helps. Well, anybody else have anything they'd like to share? Anything good happened to you this week? Anything bad happened to you this week? Fisher says, I was at Walmart today and went through the lanes telling people that Easter was a pagan holiday. Well, that's interesting. What was the reaction? Just looking at you, huh? Well, at least nobody punched you. You'd be thankful about that. Your son was telling you to be quiet. Were you embarrassing him? That's good. That's fine. That's right. That's good. I walked on Walmart the other day, and all you see is bunnies. Yeah, I can imagine somebody going through there and ripping all the bunnies down off the shelves and saying, this is an abomination. That'd be interesting to watch. Maybe when you can do that. Marinette says, yes, my mom's doing much better. Thank you, Jamie. She came home from the hospital on Monday morning. She's doing pretty good. So thanks for all your prayers. You want to try and say something, Greg? You want to try and say something? Go ahead and try and say something. Go ahead. Be brave. Be bold.
Can you hear me? Oh, my. Okay, I called in. I'm saying hi. I enjoyed the program, Dan. It's a good program. Okay, God bless.
Congratulations. Thanks for sharing, Grace. Mighty warrior, dressed for battle. Oh, I know what I'd like to do. If you all want to stick around for a second, I'll share this song. I'm not going to sing again, so don't everybody leave. I will share this song with you that these people sang. It's called "There's an Army, There's an End Time Army." I forget the title of it, but I got it on my computer. It's a nice little song. It's kind of a country song, but let's listen to it. It really touched me when I was there. I'll let you hear. Just give me a second to change over. Give me a second to change over my system here. It takes about 20 seconds. All right. And you can tell me what you think of this song.
An army of people, they're marching on. Their faces like flint, but their hearts are warm. It's the army of God in an end-time war. They've got a lot of scars, but they just don't care. 'Cause they set their hearts on a battle war, and they'll give their for a victor's song. You can hear them shout as they still fight on. In their weary hearts, they've still got a song. There's a battle fierce and an angry foe, and there's wounded soldiers wherever they go. But let courage arise to the weary in heart, 'cause it won't be long, we'll hear the captain's call. We'll say, well done, my child, and a welcome home. You fought a good fight, and the battle is won. You've been wounded sore, I have heard your cry. Tears from your tear-stained eyes. They've been tempted sore to give up the fight, but they'll fight once more. 'Cause they won't give up, though they sometimes lose. The enemy's mark they will still refuse. They put their hands to the plow and their backs to the load, and their feet march on in spite of the road. 'Cause it won't be long as the triumph song. Keep your eyes on the Lord, you'll make heaven your home.
That's a nice song. I was really blessed when we heard it there. That was the first song I sang at the exec convention that we heard. We've been through a lot of battles here. It would have meant something to me. Anybody else have anything like to share at all? Okay. Everybody keep Fishhead in prayer, a little under the weather. Take care and have a good week. Thank you, Fishhead. I'll pray for you. Thanks for coming. Well, we'll see you all next week. I don't wish you happy Easter, but happy Easter. And if see you next week. If the river don't rise, and God willing. Okay? Thanks for coming. God bless.